All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, as we have been studying, we're running into a theme as we're studying. And that theme is everywhere Jesus goes, he's having some opposition. Everywhere he goes, there are people following him trying to dispute everything he's saying. Doesn't that seem kind of familiar? I know what happened to Paul when he tried to do what Jesus told him to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When God told him to go to the Gentiles, he went to the Gentiles, and yet the Jews followed him around the whole time, criticizing him, running him down, and trying to get him discredited, trying to get him killed everywhere he went. Hasn't that happened I'd say the majority of missionaries that have gone out into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature? They go into foreign lands. There's people who try to stop them, try to run interference, try to have them killed. That happens everywhere. That's a theme. That's because that's what Christianity does. It draws men to a point where they either have to look at themselves and realize that they're wicked and vile. Almost got those backwards. Wicked and vile, and that they're no good on their own, and they have to be completely born again, washed clean, made new, and they just don't want to hear it. So they'd rather shoot the messenger than hear the message. So we're gonna look this morning at a very important point where Christ is confronted, and he's confronted over and again the Pharisees. Their trick, if you will, is to try to catch Jesus violating the law of Moses. Now pay attention to me for just a minute. Let me share this with you before we get started. God gave the law of Moses, it's called the law of Moses, but the Old Testament law, he gave that through Moses to the Jewish people. Okay? He gave it to them. He called the Jewish people out to be a separate people unto him. And I believe the reason why God called the Jewish people out to be a separate people unto himself is because they were such a hard-headed bunch. They were probably some of the hardest-headed people in the entire planet. And so in order for God to show he could love anybody, he loved them because they constantly turned their back on him. But he gave them a set of rules to live by. And we're going to talk about that as we get into this. He gave them a set of rules to live by. Those rules were there for two reasons. One part of the law was moral law. Okay? We see the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Okay? I mean, he's the only one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There it is. So, and then we've got thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And then it goes down halfway down. It's us, our moral obligation to God. And then the second part of it is man's moral obligation to man. So these are a list of rules that God gave to the Jewish people. And that ain't only ones, those ten. There's lots of rules. But some of them are moral. Like, again, don't kill, don't steal, honor God, don't cheat on your spouse, don't do your neighbor dirty. I mean, those are moral. But then you get in, look here, you get into something called, are you okay? You get into something called ceremonial law, okay? But we're going to talk about ceremonial law this morning. Those are the, we're going to talk about the Sabbath this morning, without getting too complicated. We're going to talk about the Sabbath, okay? The Old Testament Sabbath is what day, Megan, you know? No, the Old Testament Sabbath is Saturday. God in 6 days, God created everything that is. And on the seventh day, he rested. That would have been the Sabbath day, Saturday. And so the Jewish people, throughout the Old Testament, were to keep the Sabbath day. They were to rest on that day. They were to worship God on that day. And that day was kept holy to God. The Sabbath, we're going to see, is ceremonial law. And we'll look at that and we'll understand that a little more as we go on. But I wanted to just say all that first, just before we set this up, before we get into it. So let's look this morning at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, then we're going to pray, and we're going to go back through it and see what God will show us from it this morning. So Matthew chapter 12, beginning verse 1, the Bible says at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. So they're saying it's wrong, it's unlawful, it's against the law of Moses, rather, to do this on the Sabbath day. Not saying you're breaking the law of the sheriff down there at the sheriff department. He's saying you're breaking God. They're saying you're breaking Jesus, they're breaking God's law. That's what the Pharisees were saying to Jesus. They are breaking God's law. But he said unto them, Jesus said, Have you not read what David did when he was anhungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. For if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I need you this morning. I come before your throne and I ask you for your help, Father. Lord, I want to be able to preach this in a way that it's easy to be understood. Lord, in a way that, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God can take the message and let it rest in the hearts of everyone that hears. And Lord, that we understand the meaning of the message today. Help us to understand that we get caught up, Lord, in so many minute details, trying to cross every T and dot every I, that we forget why we've even come. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would understand, Lord, that you'd minister to us, that you'd teach us, Lord, the meaning of this message today. Father God, I pray, Lord, again for help. Lord, I know that I've read so much. I've looked at so much. Lord, I want to be able to communicate it back. Father, please bring it all to my remembrance. Lord, I know I'm nothing without you. I need you in everything that I do and say. Father, I pray for the message this morning. I pray for those who are listening in. Pray, Lord, that you'd minister to their hearts. Lord, they'd get a blessing from it. Father, help them. Lord, they've got, Lord, some of them out there are lost. Some of them out there need to be saved. Lord, I pray for conviction of their souls today. Conviction, Lord. Show them their sin. Show them they need Jesus. Show them they can be saved. Father, those who are struggling, going through hard times, difficulties in life, Lord, show them, Lord, the reason for it. Lord, I pray that they'd turn to you and they'd lean on you and they'd keep their eyes on you through whatever valley they're going through, knowing that you're leading them through that valley, Lord, with your rod and your staff, and you're there to prepare a table for them in the midst of their enemies. Please, Lord, help us, no matter what we're facing, to keep our eyes on you. And, Lord, I ask you now these things in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. All right. So, Jesus is leaving Jerusalem. Let me make sure of that. I'm trying to keep my notes straight this morning. But Jesus is... He's on his way to Galilee. He's gone to the Passover. Last week, you remember, he was at the Passover. It was at the Passover. We passed the Pool of Bethesda. And, that was the week before. I'm getting tangled up in my own message. Anyway, what was last week? Y'all tell me. See, I remember y'all, how well y'all remember. Do y'all remember? Nobody remembers, all right? Oh, well. Last week was talking about the fact that Jesus has life-giving power, but anyway, he's leaving Jerusalem and he's headed back to Galilee is where we are, and this is on their journey. The Bible says at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day, so it's Saturday, through the corn. Well, let's just stop right there for a second. Can I tell you something? We're not talking about ears of corn. We're not talking about stalks of corn like we see today. That word corn is universal, okay? It means grain, all right? We're not talking about yellow corn, sweet corn. There was no sweet corn growing in Israel at that time. There was no sweet corn growing in America at that time. There was a ancestor of it, and it was a very loosely, it was more like a maize or something of that nature. It wasn't nothing like what we see today in the grocery store. So when it talks about plucking ears of corn, it don't mean they're pulling them and shucking them and sitting there gnawing on corn on the cob. What it was grain, probably barley or wheat or spelt or some grain like that. They went through the field and they were breaking off. You got to understand, there's people traveling with Jesus. He's walking through. His disciples are walking with him, not the 12 disciples because he hadn't called all of them at this point. Y'all listening? So they're all walking in a crowd together, and the Bible says his disciples were unhungered. They were hungry. And so hungry that, I mean, they're walking through this big field, and they're starting to break off these heads off of these stalks of wheat or barley or whatever, and taking it in their hands and rubbing it together, and they rubbed it together to thresh the husk off of the grain, and then they'd take the corns of wheat and pop it in their mouth and chew it up while they're going on their way. But the Bible says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, look here, Jesus, look at what your disciples are doing. They're doing stuff that's not lawful. What is up with this? And it's the Sabbath day. You can't do this on the Sabbath day. You see, in the Pharisees' eyes, which every little thing is ticky-tack with them. I mean, ticky-tack detail. Listen, those disciples, in their eyes, were harvesting. You got quite a few people walking through a field. Everybody's breaking off or getting the grain, and they're shucking it and getting it in their mouth, all right? So to those Pharisees, it looked like, hey, they're out there harvesting this field, and that's work on the Sabbath day, and that's unlawful, and they shouldn't be doing that. This is wrong, Jesus. They caught him now. You see, for a while, the Pharisees followed Jesus around, kind of like they did John the Baptist. They were kind of in amazement at Jesus. They really didn't know what to think about him, but they were in amazement at what all he was able to do, and that was fine until, and they turned on him at this point. It was fine until he let them know, when I speak, it is the word of God, because I am the Son of God. When he let them know who he was and he claimed to be the Son of God, they said, well, he's a blasphemer. They were ready at that point to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. So now they're not following him to learn anything. They're following him to catch him, to say, okay, now we have a reason to get rid of you. So understand that. That's a lot of the world looks at Christianity like they're waiting for you to do something. Listen to me. Pay attention. If you call yourself a Christian in front of this world, they are watching for you to do something where they can say, you're not a Christian. See there? That's exactly the way they were treating Jesus, except they wanted to discredit him totally. Now, so why are they walking? Let's just deal with the first thing. Why are they walking through the field? Why are they so hungry? Why are they doing this to begin with? Well, in Matthew 8, if you want to flip a few pages back, Matthew 8, verse 19 through 20, you'll find the Bible says, a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes. They have a den to get in. The birds of the air have nests. They've got a place to sleep. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus said, I don't have a home. I don't have a comfortable place where I stay. So those that followed Jesus, guess what? They didn't have nowhere to lodge. I'm assuming they slept on the ground. I'm assuming they may have had some kind of an outer garment that they laid down on the ground and slept on the ground. Understand that. Jesus was not a wealthy man. Jesus didn't have a cushy life, and everybody that followed him had the same hardships that he had. All right? Now look at Matthew 27. Turn over to Matthew 27 over there at the crucifixion of Jesus. But I want you to listen to what the Scripture says. Matthew 27:55. Matthew 27:55. The Bible says, "And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him." So there were many women. I'm supposing these are unmarried women or widows. I don't think women left their husbands to go and do such a thing. They would have stayed there with husbands. But these are women who are taking care of the Lord. They see that as ministry, to be able to provide. Maybe they're just taking whatever they can find and cooking him something, and maybe they're catching animals or catching fish or whatever they're doing, and they're providing him meals and his disciples meals. So there are people traveling with him that are seeing that as, you know what, everybody can't be the pastor. Everybody can't be teach Sunday school. Everybody can't lead singing. Everybody can't do all these things. But you know what, you can do something for God. And these ladies, they weren't in no grand role. They're just walking along with him, listening to him teach, and they're taking care of his physical needs. As he gets hungry, they're trying to provide him something to eat. Well, obviously, there hadn't been a whole lot of time to sit and do anything, because the Lord is constantly, constantly, constantly doing something. He's constantly ministering. He has 3.5 years of ministry time, and the Lord is busy during that 3.5 years. So anybody that's with the Lord is constantly on the move. Nothing is planned. It's just circumstances we're in. We've got to deal with it. So as they pass through this field, everybody's hungry. They're wore out. They've been walking. They ain't had a good night's sleep in a while. It's a rigorous schedule. Listen, and the Lord basically has told us. I mean, that's why he told them that. Listen, foxes have holes. The birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't have anywhere to lay his head. You know, if you're going to follow me, it ain't going to be easy. Jesus discouraged the faint of heart from trying to follow after him, because he told him, he said, you know, if he comes after me, you're going to have to leave everything to follow me. That's what he's telling people. To follow me, you've got to leave everything. Why? It's not an easy life to follow Jesus. It's not easy worldly-wise. It's not a cushy life to follow Jesus. So he kind of told him, listen, it's not going to be easy. So that's what they're having to do. They're having to just get it on the wall, on the go. You talk about fast food. Now, that's what they're doing. They're making them some fast food. So the Pharisees are walking behind. They're watching this. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Wait. What they're doing is wrong. They're doing something wrong right there. They're breaking the law of Moses right there, Jesus. You see your disciples? Trying to catch you. But again, like I said earlier, the Sabbath is what they were concerned about. They're breaking the Sabbath rules. They're breaking the law about the Sabbath. They're not keeping the Sabbath. They're working on the Sabbath. But again, we're talking about ceremonial law. Ceremonial law was there for a reason. Ceremonial law is there to point men to God. Okay? The reason for the Sabbath was this. The reason for the Sabbath was for men to have time, men and women, but I'm saying man, to have time set apart to God and to God only. It was not to be a day where you just went about your business and did what you wanted to do and made 5 minutes for God. It was a whole day set aside just for him. And so they accuse him. And here's what Jesus says in response, verse 3. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered and they that were with him? Now you say, what is he talking about? Well, he's talking about in 1 Samuel, which we'll turn to in just a minute, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Let me just set this story up, what Jesus is talking about. David, we know what happened with David. David went down to see his brothers down there when the army of Israel was on one side and the army of the Philistines on the other, and Goliath would come down in the valley every day. And David went down there with some popcorn and some cheese, and went down, I don't know if it was popcorn, but he went down there with some corn and cheese to see the bread and cheese to see his brothers and take that to them. And you know the story. Goliath comes out, and he said, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that now the armies defy the armies of Israel?" And Saul tried to put his armor on David, and it wouldn't fit. And David went down there just like he was with his slingshot, got him five smooth stones, walked out there, whack, hit Goliath between the eyes, he's dead. All right? And everybody hooray'd over David. Well, Saul loved David until everybody hooray'd over David. Saul wanted to kill David. Saul wanted to get rid of David. Couldn't stand David all of a sudden. Saul had a bad spirit about him. And so Saul determines to kill David, and David has to go on the run. And David and some of his men, they go on the run, and they're out on the run from Saul, who wants to kill him. Now, God appointed Saul as the king of Israel. But Saul's heart was turned away from God. Saul sought after familiar spirits. He went to the witch of Endor. He went seeking witchcraft to get answers instead of going to God. And so Saul was turned away from God, and God had already picked David to be the king of Israel. David is in the line of Christ. You see, the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Mary comes out of the bloodline of David. So David is on a mission from God everywhere he goes. David loves the Lord with all his heart. God called him a man after my own heart. David is on the run. He knows God has a purpose for him, and he's hungry. He's about to starve to death, him and his men. Well, let's look at something else real quick. Let's look at this stuff that he's going to eat, the showbread. What is the showbread? Showbread's flat bread, and it was laid out on this fancy table with gold covering on it, these 12 breads. Laid out there every day, hot and fresh, before the Lord. We'll look at it. Look in, turn your Bible to Leviticus 24:5. Leviticus 24:5. Exodus 25:30 says, "And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always." In the temple, God said there always needs to be showbread on the table. 12 of them. What do you reckon those 12 pieces of showbread represent? 12 tribes of Israel. There you go. And they were to be out there presented before the Lord always. Leviticus 24:5-9. The Bible says, "Thou shalt take fine flour," and we're going to talk about these breads. "Take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake." So God gives a recipe here. All right? "And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons." Aaron and his sons. So who are they? They're the Levites. The Levites, or tribe, they were called out for the work of God, specifically. The Levites were the ones who labored in the temple. No other tribes, nobody from any other tribes. It was just the Levites. Aaron and his sons were the beginning of it. And the Bible says, "And they shall eat it." They ate the showbread in the holy place. "For it is most holy of him, of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute." So God had it set up that, again, every Lord's Day, that they were to have that showbread set out on the table. All right? It's there. God had it there for a memorial. So here comes David. David's on the run from Saul. David's worried about getting killed. He's concerned about, you know, dying, and he's sneaking around trying to keep from being killed or captured. And the Bible said, "Then came David to Nob," that's the place, "to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why aren't thou alone and no man with thee?" Here comes David in. He's dirty. He's been on the run. He hadn't had a change of clothes. He don't have no royal court with him. "Hey, David, what's up with you? You don't look like yourself, you know." It kind of frightened the priest a little bit. "And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such place. Now, hold on a minute. They've told a lie. They've told a lie right there. King didn't send him nowhere. King won't kill him. David told a lie. And you know, it's kind of interesting how Jesus told his story, even though David told a lie in it. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. David said, listen, give me that showbread. I want that food that's over there. I'm hungry. Now, wait a minute. David's not a Levite. It's not for David. It's only for Aaron and his sons. It's only for those who worked in the temple. So David says, what's that under your hand there? Let me have 5 loaves of that bread in my hand. And the priest answered David and said, there's no common bread under mine hand, but there's hallowed bread. This is not common bread. This is not just bread, any bread. It's not some bread I've got in the pantry. This is hallowed bread, David. He said, there ain't any common bread. He said, but there is hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. Now, I don't really know what all he was trying to say there. It seemed like he was a little bit superstitious or something. He was trying to, he's going to let him have the bread, but he's like, well, are they pure? Are their hearts right? What's the deal here? And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. Their bodies are holy. They hadn't been in sinful behavior. He said, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. That's not the hot bread which was on the table. This is some that was taken off. This has been replaced by 12 other loaves. And he said, it's okay for me to eat it. It's not hallowed anymore. Now, you might say, well, it's wrong of him. He shouldn't have ate that. Why did he go in there and do that? That's wrong. Well, they're just piling in here. Let's hold on a minute. David's on a mission. David is trying to stay alive because he knows that God has a purpose for him. So he goes ahead and eats the bread. The priest gave him the hallowed bread, for there's no bread there but the show bread, which that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So Jesus is using this story to point out that sometimes circumstances are different, and sometimes things have to be done a little different. I'm gonna clear this up. I'm not just throwing vague things out there. The Lord is trying to show them something. Here's an example of the Lord saying, oh, when it looks like the Sabbath day was profaned. It looks like something was profaned. Something was messed up. It was done wrong. Did you not know what David did on that day, he's saying? Or have you not read in the law, verse 5 in our text? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? How do the priests profane the Sabbath? Well, people bring sacrifices to the temple. What do the priests do? They have to take the sacrifice. They have to take it in there. They have to slice the throat of the lamb. They have to let the blood be poured out and caught. They have to gut that thing, get all the guts out, clean it up, take the caul above the liver and the innards, all that, wash all that. That's a lot of work, ain't it, Jesse? You cut up animals for a living. Listen, it's a lot of work butchering animals. And they're not just butchering one. They're butchering a whole bunch of animals every Sabbath day. And here they are, they're working and working and working. And Jesus said, listen, they're in there working on the Sabbath day, and nobody blames them. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make a point. Now, hold on, let's look at some other things real quick here. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath, often, over and over and over. Look at me now. Everybody, he healed a lot of times on the Sabbath day, and I believe he did it for a reason. He did it to show them something, to teach them something. But every time that he healed somebody on the Sabbath, I want to give you some of his responses when they criticized him for it. Here's one in Luke 13, 15 and 16. The Lord then answered him, I think this was a man healed with dropsy or something, and said, "Thou hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman being a daughter," no, this is a different one, "and not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" He said, well, good morning. He said, you know what? You go to the barn, you'll get your horse, you'll get your ox, you'll get your donkey, you'll lead them away to get something to drink, you'll lead them away to get some food on the Sabbath. But you don't want this woman to be healed on the Sabbath? And then there was another time in Luke 14, 1 through 5, the Bible said, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief priests to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? You going about your business, and somebody comes over and hollers and says, Hey, and your cow fell off in a hole. You know, I'll say, I'll leave him there till Monday, it'll be all right. Or leave him there till Sunday, it'll be all right. We'll get him tomorrow, don't worry about it, it'll be all right. No, he don't want to lose his livestock. So what's he going to do? He's going to run out there, he's going to call somebody, they're going to get ropes, they're going to get out there, they're going to pull that animal out of that hole it's in. It don't make no difference if it's the Sabbath or not. And Jesus is trying to say, you care about that. You care about watering your animals and feeding your animals. You care about your animals on the Sabbath day. But if I do something to heal somebody, y'all get all ticky-tack and say, wait a minute, you're doing something wrong, Jesus. How dare you do that on the Sabbath day? Listen to what 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6 says. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not that we know it all already, but God tells us everything we need to know. That's what it's saying. He said, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now listen to this part. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means if we go by the letter always, we have no mercy. Okay? No, your horse has got to die. Fell in a pit. You can't get it out. Sorry. Letter, the law says, can't change that. Got to do it that way. That's the way it is. Well, my house is on fire. Can't put it out. Oh, can't put it out. Could put it out if it's tomorrow, but today's the Sabbath, so let that thing burn. That's the letter of the law. Okay? My daughter's sick. I've got to get her to a doctor. No, you can't carry her nowhere today. It's the Sabbath day. She'll just have to be sick. Well, she's definitely sick. She'll have to die. It's the Sabbath day. That's the letter. You see? The letter killeth. But the Bible says the Spirit giveth life. That's why Jesus is healing on the Sabbath day, because it's the right thing to do, because it honors God, you see. Jesus said in verse 6, he said, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. They were worried because, listen, hey, these disciples, they're out there eating grain on the Sabbath day. They're out there hungry, and they walk through the field, and they're breaking off them ears of barley or whatever, the heads of barley, and they're getting the chaff off of it and popping them grains in their mouth and eating because they're hungry. They're following Jesus on the Sabbath day. They're not out fishing on the Sabbath day. They're not out hunting on the Sabbath day. They're not out working a job on the Sabbath day. They're not out mowing their grass on the Sabbath day. They're not out ignoring God and going about their business on the Sabbath day. They're following the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day, and they're hungry, so they decide to get something to eat. Oh, you can't eat on. You can't do that. That's you're harvesting grain on the Sabbath day. You can't do that. They're missing it. Now, let's look at something here. Let's look at the Saturday Sabbath business. Because as I was driving this morning to pick up Miss Charlotte, Miss Geraldine, I passed by the Seventh-day Adventist church. And those Seventh-day Adventists, they'll tell you if you ask them, do you believe I'm going to hell because I go to church on Sunday? Yeah. They'll tell you that because they believe that. They believe in Saturday worship or else. Can I tell you something? They are wrong as wrong can be. Okay? Let's look at the Bible for a minute here. First of all, the Sabbath wasn't even observed until God gave it to Moses. Turn to Exodus 16. I don't know if it's a sermon or if this is a study, whatever it is, but we're going to do it regardless. I think it's more of a study than it is a sermon this morning. But Exodus 16, 29, 30. So, nobody had ever observed the Sabbath. Even though the Bible tells us that in 6 days the earth was created and everything in it, and on the seventh day God rested. Exodus 16, 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Now this is when manna was falling from heaven. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Again, they were out in the middle of the wilderness, out in the desert, and God was feeding them. Manna would fall from heaven every morning, and they'd go out and collect it, and they'd have enough to eat that day. And then the next morning, there'd be more manna fell every day, except it didn't fall on Saturday. It fell twice as much, fell on Friday, and they kept it over and ate it on Saturday. And this is when God gave that rule about the Sabbath. But again, it wasn't moral law or judicial law. It was ceremonial law. It was there to point them to God, to keep their eyes on God, always kept their eyes on God. All right? So it was never observed until God gave it to Moses. Second of all, it was never commanded in the New Testament. You can comb through that New Testament, but you will not find in there anywhere where it tells a Christian to keep the Sabbath. Okay? The Bible never commands that. We do not worship. We do not go to the house of worship on Saturday. It's not something that God commanded Gentiles to ever do. Thirdly on this, it's in the Ten Commandments. Exodus 21 says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Who was it to? The house of Israel. I had never been in the land of Egypt in bondage. Have you? No. It was given to the Jewish people. All right? Number four. It was a sign between God and Israel. Exodus 31. If you want to turn over there. Exodus 31, verse 12. Exodus 31 and verse 12. All right. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. In other words, that you remember that I am the Lord that separates you from myself. That's why. That's the whole point of the Sabbath. So that these Jews, again, who were, God called them a stiff-necked people, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, they would not yield to him and give themselves to him completely. He constantly was trying to get them to, but they would not. They would always backslide. We do too. We get close and then we backslide. We get close and we backslide. All right? He said, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, wait a minute. God's going to kill us if we don't go to church on Saturday? Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Wasn't church, and we're not Jews. This is to the Old Testament Hebrew people. All right? It was put there again for people to remember. And let me show you what it teaches. 6 days of work, then 1 day of rest. 6 days of work represents man trying to keep the law. 6 days, work, 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 with the hope of rest at the end. Men tried to keep the law and tried to keep the law and tried to keep the law. And guess what they did? Every single one of them, without question, every single one of them failed. That picture of 6 days of work and then 1 day of rest pictures work salvation, which nobody, nobody, nobody could do. The Ten Commandments are not there to be followed. They're there to prove that nobody can follow them. Ain't none of us in here ever kept the Ten Commandments all our life. Ain't none of us. We've all come short of the glory of God. So those 6 days of work and 1 day of rest, again, pictures work salvation. You get perfect enough, you get to go to heaven, but nobody could. So something had to be done. In that picture in the Passover, what we talked about, the blood over the doorposts, guess what that showed? That Jesus is the sacrifice for sin, that we cannot work our way to heaven, praise God. So what happened to this Saturday business? What happened to this Sabbath worship? Turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2, over in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, then Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Again, remember, this is all about his disciples are eating on the Sabbath day, walking through a grain field, breaking off heads of grain, and shucking it and eating it, and then the Pharisee says, wait a minute, they're breaking the Sabbath. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, the Bible says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, your flesh is wicked, your body's full of sin, hath he quickened together. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was dead in my sins. I was dead in my old wicked flesh, and God has made me alive together with Jesus. In other words, I am made again in his likeness. Although I can't see it when I look in the mirror, I can't see the perfect me that God sees. He doesn't see my flesh. God doesn't look down here and see all the wrongs that I do. God looks down here and he sees Jesus covering me. He sees his blood covering me. He looks down at me and he sees the Lord. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see you when he looks down from heaven. He doesn't see all your wrongs. God sees Jesus if you have Jesus' blood covering you and washing your sins away. So God, he's brought us together with him and having forgiven us all our trespasses. Now look at verse 14. This is very important. Blotting out what? The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, that Old Testament law that nobody could ever keep, he blotted it out and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Why was it so important that Jesus was perfect? Jesus lived what we couldn't live. Jesus kept the law in every detail. Jesus did not break the law. Jesus kept it in every detail and was sinless when he went to the cross. That's how he's able to be our sacrifice, because he had no sin of his own. And he took that ordinance, he took that law, and he nailed it to the cross. And because of his sacrifice, we don't have to worry about trying to do that. He did it for us. And the Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In doing so, he ruined everything for the religionists of the world. all the ticky-tack rules and this, that, and if you do that, you're wrong. We do this. Listen, he took that all out of the way. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Look at verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Again, it was a shadow of things to come. Again, 6 days of work followed by a day of rest. It pictured man trying to work his way to heaven, and man couldn't. It was a shadow of what was to come. Christ came and fulfilled it and nailed it to the cross. We're no longer bound by it. His disciples walking through the fields on that day, they weren't bound by it anymore. You know why? They found the Messiah. They had no reason to be worried about breaking the ceremonial law because they're following the Lord. David, in the temple, when he went in and got that showbread, he wasn't worried about breaking the ceremonial law. He's starving to death. He's following the Lord, and he goes in to take it from the Lord's table because he knew the Lord is full of mercy, you see. Why is Jesus healing people on the Sabbath day? Because God is full of mercy and it glorifies God. That's what the ceremonial law was there for, to make sure that men glorified God. But everything Christ is doing is glorifying God. Everything people that are following him and giving him glory are doing is glorifying God. How are you going to say you can't glorify God on God's day? You understand that? And Jesus said in verse 7, our text, but if ye had known what this meaneth, if you weren't lost religious hypocrites who only are seeking, I'm just adding to it, I'm just saying, this is basically, in a nutshell, the problem. If you weren't full of yourselves, if you didn't think that you had it all together and that you were perfect because you were religious leaders, if you didn't think that you were big shots and that you were in power over everybody else, if you could get off your high horse and get down on your knees and bow down before me, you'd realize what this means. If you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. What's he quoting? He's quoting Hosea 6:6. Which says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God said, listen, I'd rather you love me than put a whole bunch of lambs on the altar of sacrifice. If you're just putting lambs on the altar of sacrifice to be putting lambs on the altar of sacrifice, then quit putting lambs on the altar of sacrifice. I want you to love me, what God's saying. I have an example I want to give you. Years ago, I used to pastor a fella. I ain't going to give you his name. Doesn't matter anyway. Y'all wouldn't know him. But I used to pastor him and his family. And I met him one day. He was washing dishes. I knocked on his door. And he and his family started going to our church. And they went to our church for about 2.5-3 years. And I loved them, and I tried to help them, and I tried to do everything I could to help that family to grow in the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. They never really truly did. They made a show of it. It looked like they were growing in the Lord, but when it came right down to it, they never did. And I really found out why right before they left our church. This fella, I'm telling you, he on the outside, it looked like he was seriously seeking after God. They had an issue in their life, and they were trying to get an answer to prayer, and he fasted for 30 days. I mean, dropped a ton of weight fasting for 30 days. He said, I'm going to find out. I'm going to get an answer from God. And he came to me. And he said, I don't understand why God isn't answering my prayer. I don't understand why God isn't doing what we're asking him to. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. Now, that's what he said to me. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. And I looked at him and I said, and there's the problem. You're doing everything you're supposed to do. And you think God ought to snap to it because you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You see, they were doing it in the letter, but not the spirit of the law. They weren't doing what God asked them because they loved him. They were doing it out of fear. If we don't do it right, God will get us. You understand? That's the kind of dread and fear that these religious leaders, these Pharisees, put in people. It's a fear. And I read somewhere this last week about some church out in North Carolina or somewhere, some Word of Faith church, where the pastor is literally beating people up. I mean, physically abusing them if they weren't doing just right. You can't lead people to serve God like that. That's horrible. I mean, horrible, the way he was treating the people in that church. And they lived in fear, and they wouldn't. You say, well, how did he get away with it? He had them all under fear, and they wouldn't speak out against him. You can't lead people in fear and intimidation. This is last week, a preacher friend of mine, I've got a large community of preachers that I associate with online, Facebook, and one of them posed a question. He said, if a man doesn't preach outside his church on the street, is he right with God, basically? And I just sent back a little post, and I told him, I said, you know, you cannot get people to serve God out of fear and intimidation. They won't serve God, they'll serve you. If you want to serve God, you got to do it out of love. It's not you follow this or else. It's you follow him out of love. You don't follow me, you follow him. Jesus said, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. You see, all these Jews had known all these years was the temple, the Sabbath day, the Passover, the feast, all these things. But what they missed is that everything they were doing was pointing them to Jesus. All of it was there for a reason. All of it had a purpose and a place. It was all to identify the Messiah who was coming. And when he came, again, he took all of that and he nailed it to his cross. It's gone. It's done. We're not here to worship rules. We're here to worship Christ. And if we worship Christ, we'll have no problem following him and obeying him. You see, when you follow, you basically have said, I'm going to do whatever you need me to do because I love you. I'm going to do what you want me to do because you asked me to, and I want to please you. That's following. Christ is the Lord over all. Amen? He never broke his rules. He never broke his law. Again, ceremonial law is what we're talking about with the Sabbath. And ceremonial law, like I said in the beginning, was there. Let me back up. Moral law, again, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, worship the Lord only and him only. All those laws were what's right. Okay? Moral laws. Before men. Men need to see you do right. I mean, they're there so that others see what's right. But when it came to the ceremonial law, that's just between man and God. It's there to keep a man pointed toward God. Again, don't work on Sunday, don't cook on Sunday, do all those things. All those things were there to keep the Jewish people separated unto God to be an example to everyone else. It was there to have them following him with their hearts. So when Jesus did the things that he did on the Sabbath day, when his followers did those things, they were honoring God. They were glorifying God. They were yielding to God. So listen, it's the Spirit gives life. When our hearts, when our lives, listen to me, instead of us saying, well, if I don't go to church, the preacher will be mad at me. Well, it ain't about what the preacher cares or thinks about. It's not up to what the preacher, I can tell you now, I don't have the key to heaven. I'm not standing at the door letting people in, keeping people out. I had people say to me, oh, I'm sorry, preacher, I didn't mean to say it in front of you. Well, I'm not the one that matters. I've heard worse and said worse than you probably even thought of at some point in my life. It's not about what the preacher thinks. It's not about, well, I'm not, you know, I don't have the nicest thing on the word of church today, or blah, 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 whatever. All these little ticky-tack things, those things don't truly matter. What matters is that you love the Lord. What matters is that you understand that he is the Lord of glory. He is the creator of all that is. And we owe him everything we have. There is nothing that we have that does not belong to him. We shouldn't be selfish with our effort. We shouldn't be selfish with our words. We shouldn't be selfish with our time. It all belongs to him. And we're to give it to him freely. Our lives are to glorify God. Maybe the way we go about it is different from somebody down the road. It's not about a set of ticky-tack rules. It's about following Christ. If we're following Christ, and the only way to follow Christ, look here, is to follow this book. You can't follow him outside of it. Like I was telling a woman in here the other night, listen, I don't get off all into all this, these people saying they claim they got some message from God. You didn't get no message from God unless it come from this book. That's it. I didn't mean to add this, but I think I will. Years ago, I was laying carpet. I mean years ago, too, probably 20, 25 years ago. I was laying carpet in Cooper, Texas. And I was in the hallway laying carpet, and there was, and this woman, she'd talked to me and found out I was a preacher. And she was sitting in her bedroom in the dark, on the edge of her bed, scribbling. I could see her in there scribbling something in the dark. When we got done, that hallway was the last thing I had to finish. When I got done, we were walking out the truck, got our tools and everything. And she brought me out an envelope, and she handed it to me. She said, "Don't read this till you're on your way home." And I said, "Okay." I didn't know what it was. So I opened up on the way home, and she said, the letter said, I can't remember, quote it verbatim, but I'll tell you basically what it said. It said, "I'm going to bless your ministry. Your church is going to grow, this, that, and other. These good things are going to happen to you, blah, blah, blah." And down at the bottom she wrote, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, somebody might have took that and read that and said, "Oh, isn't that nice?" But I'm going to tell you what I did. I looked at it and I said, "That ain't of God." You know why? Because if God said that, then we need to throw these Bibles away and we need to get new ones with her letter in the back of it. If it's the Word of God, let's add it to the Bible. Amen? I don't know why I got that out, but anyway, the Lord just happened to bring it to my memory. Amen? God only works through his written, finished, closed word. And when Christ said, "It's nailed to the cross," it's nailed to the cross. God ain't going to hold me accountable for Saturday. It's not about, again, a rigid set of got to do it this way or God's mad at you. It's you follow him. It's you give him your all, not just on Saturday or Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Every time you open your eyes and you still got life and you still got breath in your lungs and there's still people around you that you can talk to and love for Christ's sake, we're to love him for him. We're to serve him for him. We're to love him. We're to give him glory. We're to sing praises to his name. We're to talk to him. We're to have a relationship with him. We're to find out what he wants us to do, and we're to do it out of love, not out of fear and intimidation, but because he's the Lord of glory. Amen? He's the Lord of the Sabbath and every other day. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the message today. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, to have been able to teach and preach. Lord, I hope we've gained some knowledge from this today. Lord, I pray that we've come to an understanding that Lord, it's all about our hearts being pointed toward you. We're to follow Christ. We're not to try to follow a set of rules and then get discouraged and quit following when we're unable to keep all those rules. Lord, you taught us in your word through the Jewish people that nobody could ever keep all those rules. Lord, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow. We're not to fear, we're to follow. Lord, you told us that even in the valley of the shadow of death, we're not to fear evil because you're with us. And you prepare that table in the midst of our enemies. And you protect us with your rod and staff. And you give us a cool drink from still water. And Lord, we're heading toward that mountain. We're heading toward that day of rest. Lord, when we're all able to rest with you. Lord, please keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep us walking ever so faithfully, step by step with you. Feed us as we walk along the way. Nourish us, Lord, and give us those opportunities to serve you and be the power and be the love and be the compassion and be the strength in us, Lord, because there's nothing about us that's any good outside of you. Lord, you've made us new creatures. Lord, help us to walk accordingly. Father, forgive us of our failures. Bless us and help us to teach teach others that there's life in Jesus Christ, that there's salvation through his blood. Father, we love you and we give you glory and praise you and thank you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.